You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
Hola.
Hello. This call is being translated.
Abuela, listen to what my phone can do.
Abuela, escucha lo que mi teléfono puede hacer.
Wow. Ahora dime sobre tu novia nueva.
Wow. Now tell me about this new girlfriend.
Huh?
Tú sabes lo que dije.
You know what I said.
Language is no longer a barrier, thanks to Live Translate with Galaxy AI on Samsung Galaxy S24 Ultra. Learn more at Samsung.com. Samsung account login required. Calls must be made using the native Samsung dialer.
Hello and welcome to The Rest is Football with Alan Shearer, Micah Richards and me, Gary Lineker. I'm tempted to do it in a voice like Micah Richards impersonating me. don't think I wasn't listening, Micah. Don't think I wasn't listening. If only there was something to talk about over the weekend's football.
Oh.
Incredible stuff in the FA Cup and the Premier League. We've got lots to get through, but I think there's only one place to start. We've just finished watching a truly breathtaking FA Cup classic at Old Trafford, and Manchester United somehow managed to come back and win it. I mean, firstly, what a game.
Wow. Unbelievable. And we use the word unbelievable so many times, but today it truly was unbelievable. And I thought Man United, when they went behind, was they going to crumble? But I have to say, Old Trafford was absolutely rocking. Even from the TV screen, you could hear the atmosphere. It was back to its best. I've not heard it like that for a long time. And then the game, it was like a boxing match, wasn't it? You thought Liverpool was going to go on and just finish him off. Couldn't quite do it. Man United came back into it. But did they have the minerals to go on and win it? And the answer was an astounding yes. You've got to give credit to Man United. We talk so much about potentially not having a character or desire or having the tactical nous to see games out, but you've got to give them credit. They stuck to it till the end and they were superb. They really were.
It was just a brilliant game. I mean, the atmosphere, you could just feel it through the television. It had a bit of everything, didn't it? To and fro, and your game, their game. It was unbelievable. Even so, it was that good. I've actually broke my headphones here. So
yes,
if you think I look like a bit of a prat because one of them's broken here. For once, Gary, I've got like big lugs like you look.
Yeah, see? Actually suits you.
It was brilliant. It was just an amazing game.
I was saying today on when I was doing the Chelsea Leicester game that I think we should get rid of extra time because they're always boring. So football always proves you wrong, doesn't it? The extra time was incredible. In fact, I got back from Stamford Bridge for the second half. I didn't see the first half, but I mean, it was truly extraordinary. I mean, it was both teams were going gung-ho for victory. No one seemed to be thinking about penalty shootouts. Manchester United's back four at the end.
I know.
It was mad. They had Antony at the back, Bruno playing central defence, and still they managed to counter and win the game. I think there's still a bit of life left in the FA Cup.
Oh, absolutely. What a weekend it's been. I mean, I know we'll get onto it in a minute, but my team were beaten. But the games that have happened, I mean, whether it was Coventry City, whether it was Chelsea, whether it was City, it wasn't such a... I mean, that was probably the worst game of the weekend, City, one-way traffic the whole way. But the others, oh my goodness, the games were just incredible. Great viewing, great for people in the stadiums, great for people sat back at home watching on TV. And yeah, this weekend with the FA Cups had absolutely everything. Amazing.
How good was Kobbie Mainoo?
He's such a talented young man, isn't he?
Oh, my word. He just gets better and better and better. We sort of analysed him when he first played for Man United, and we talked about how calm he was on the ball. But it's not just that. He runs forward. He's got great feet. His passing range looks good. I think he's still got work to do on the tactical side of things in terms of protecting his back four a little bit more. But what a performance that was. I mean, he was amazing today. He really was.
Yeah, he didn't make the England squad. Obviously, but I mean, he's sending another message there, isn't he, to Gareth Southgate? I mean, there's still time. I mean, it is a position.
That's all he can do. Is keep on performing like that. And he's had a brilliant start. He's out there. I mean, I agree with Micah. His performance today was amazing. A little bit of disappointment that he wasn't in there, but keep performing like that. It's inevitable. It's only a matter of time.
Well, at his age as well, obviously his time will come. He's got bags of time ahead of him. And even if he was in the squad for the Euros, if he makes it, he'd probably be more for perhaps experience around the players than anything else. But he's got to be a star of the future. As you know, obviously you can never say with young players, things can go wrong. Things can go wrong off the field. You can get injuries. But given a fair run and... I suspect he's got a really good attitude, he seems to have, then the sky's the limit, isn't it?
It really is. I think he's doing all the right things. His interviews, he says all the right things. Seems like a real humble, measured person. So long may it continue. I also think it's worth giving a shout to Antony as well, because his time at Man United has not been great, but to come on and make a difference, not only just obviously getting the goal, but his work rate and his body language, his attitude, I thought it was brilliant today. And it just shows you that it is in them. I think that's why we get a little bit frustrated with Man United at times, because they've got the players, haven't they? It's just about that consistency. And if they could make Old Trafford back into a fortress again, then they've got a chance of getting a little run together now between now and the end of the season.
And for Ten Hag, by the way, you've got to give him a mention, because he every single week it's, well, he probably reads, well, even if he wins the FA Cup, it may not be enough. They've got to finish in the top four, which is going to be extremely difficult. You read that they're already speaking to different managers, so he's got to put up with all of that. So for him to go in against Liverpool and win in that fashion, and his team are out there scrapping and fighting for him. That's a huge result for him, and well done him.
So I was pleased for Marcus Rashford, because obviously he's been through a tough time, but he's showing signs of a real return to form. I know he missed a good chance, didn't he, in the last minute when his first touch was actually superb, but he just pushed it a little bit wide of the post, but. To get that all-important goal, I think that would do him the world of good. And there are, you know, signs of the Rashford that we all know and really admire.
Well, let's hope so, because we saw it last season, didn't we? I mean, there's an unbelievable talent there. We know that. And yeah, I think the one he missed, you could see the agony on his face, couldn't you, when the camera sort of panned in on him. But as a forward, you know that you miss one, you're always going to get the opportunity to rectify that. And he did that. And it was a great finish when it came to him.
Well, that's the key. We've said so many times, haven't we, Alan? You've just got to keep going in there. If you miss, don't be scared to miss the next time. It's a game of probability, isn't it? The more chances you get, the more goals you'll score.
I'm not comparing the two, but look at Ellis Sims yesterday.
Yeah, the sitter he missed.
I mean, that was probably the chance of the season. I don't know how he missed it, but to be fair to him, he kept on going and got two goals.
I've asked you guys about, what it's like when you miss and how you keep going, but I've not asked you, does the crowd have a factor in how you feel? Does that make a difference whether you're home or away if you're missing chances, or does it not really matter?
Micah, I would probably say it's no different to a defender making an error that leads to a goal. I mean, you can hear them moaning and groaning in the crowd, but you mustn't then be afraid to go on and then get on the ball and be brave and everything else. Because what's different, I suppose, is that you're always going to miss more than you score. And you've got to be brave and keep getting in there, because if you do, eventually it'll turn.
I remember when I joined Everton, I played in a last pre-season friendly before the start of the season. And I missed about four really good chances. Didn't score. It was only a pre-season friendly anyway. And I remember Peter Reid coming up to me at the end of the game and he went, are you okay? Are you okay? And I went, I'm absolutely okay, because with this team, you create a lot of chances and I will score a lot of goals. And funny, I saw him recently for a drink. Great guy, Peter. And he reminded me of that. He said, I remember that time. I remember that time. But it is so true that the mental strength side of a striker's game is so hugely important. You've got to keep getting in there and keep believing in yourself. And I'm sure that's not just true for strikers, but players in all positions.
Agreed. Definitely. 100%.
Do you think that might transform things for Manchester United? I don't know how many times over the last few years we've said that. So in the draw for the semi-finals, you've got Manchester United playing against Coventry and Manchester City against Chelsea. So the odds are probably in favour of another All-Manchester final, the first one of which was obviously just about a year ago. It could be another repeat.
Wouldn't surprise me. You can imagine. We're sat there thinking, come on, we all want Coventry, which is understandable.
Yeah, of course.
But yeah, Man United got them. And it's not going to be easy for them, by the way. I was really impressed with Coventry. Mark Robbins is doing an unbelievable job there. I mean, the way they fought back and did everything yesterday against Wolves was really, really impressive. And it was no fluke. They deserved it. They were brilliant. Coventry. So, but it's understandable that everyone wanted them in the semi-final.
Yeah, of course they did. Liverpool, a big blow. Obviously, that's the chances of the quadruple, which was, you know, always going to be a massive ask. But they look really choked at the end, as you would be, particularly against their, you know, one of their big rivals, Manchester United.
I just think in the way as well, wasn't it, Micah? In the way it would hurt. I mean, it hurt anyway, but to lose it in the way they did would be...
Yeah, but it swings in roundabouts. Look at the League Cup final when Chelsea should have probably won that game, but their resilience got them through. Van Dijk had a late on. So you could say the same about Chelsea. I just think with Liverpool, they've done so well to be in all these competitions, especially with the young players within the squad. And we kept saying, they can't possibly keep going with the young players, you know, key players out, and they did well to get this far. But yeah, I just thought in the end, it looked like Man United had a little bit more, I won't even say legs, but it just, the game fell for them more. The tackles were going in. It just looked like it was going to be their day. So fair play to them, but yeah. It was Man United's day, and they can, you know, focus on the league now and the Europa League, and yeah, take it from there.
Yeah, still loads to play for Liverpool, and obviously for Manchester United, there's still that chance of Champions League football. They've got a bit to do, but they would have been helped by the results this weekend with Spurs losing and Villa drawing. And did you, both of you, watch My Mob? It's not been a great weekend for you and me, Alan, really.
No. Yeah, I watched it as well. I mean, bloody hell. You were terrible in the first half. You were awful, weren't you?
Or Leicester?
No, not you. No, you were fine. You were good as usual. It was your team that was yeah. Poor. I was texting you during the thing.
I know you were.
My goodness me, how bad are Leicester? And then to their credit, they came back in the second half. Unlucky, I suppose, with the sending off, but it was a sending off. He had to make that decision. Then you're up against it, weren't you?
So I was thinking tough. At the time, and I think it was mentioned in commentary that in that situation, what would you have preferred? Would you have preferred it to be a penalty and maybe a yellow card, or a red card and be a free kick outside the box, given there wasn't that long to go?
Probably give it a penalty and let Raheem Sterling take it. What on earth is going on there, by the way, in the
that
first
was
half?
Really odd, wasn't it?
Because seriously, I mean, I was getting angry and I didn't really care. And I'm thinking, why on earth is he taking the ball off Palmer?
Mm. He scored 5 out of 5 this season.
5 out of 5. He's the best player for Chelsea. He's been brilliant all season. He looks confident whenever he's taking them. Why would you even contemplate taking it off him?
You could see him talking to him as they're walking towards, and Sterling's obviously gone, I want this. And I suppose as a young player, you're going to bow to that seniority, aren't you, of a player like Sterling, but rather than fight about it. But I must admit, I thought, ooh, this is quite good for Leicester, because I think there's a chance he might miss it, because I think he's missed five of the last seven. So
even more so, why on earth would you put yourself forward when you've got a record like that?
It's confidence, though, isn't it, Al?
What do you mean it's confidence?
Cole Palmer's flying, and sometimes, not you, obviously, evidently, but sometimes a striker or someone in form would give it to a player who may be suffering for a little bit of confidence just to get his confidence back, surely.
I would actually disagree with that, because
bullshit.
You want the person with confidence to take it, not the person who's lacking confidence, surely.
No disrespect, it was Leicester at home. If it was...
That is disrespectful.
If it was Man United or Man City, Liverpool... It's the quarter final
of the FA Cup, man. Yeah, forget about who you're playing or who you want to be nice to and all that shit.
There was 1-0 up at the time.
To the penalty taker. Forget about all the being nice shit. I want to get my confidence up and all that. He's not on the pens. Cole Palmer's on the pens and he's been successful at them. 5 out of 5. Get off, I'm taking it. Simple.
Totally agree with you, but you kind of have to admire Raheem Sterling's cojones, shall we say, because he's not scared of putting himself forward. And obviously after the red card, the free kick was on the edge of the box. I think it might have been quite possibly the worst free kick I've ever seen. I mean, it nearly went actually over the stand.
Oh, my.
And after missing he missed the chance after the penalty as well, didn't he?
But he did obviously have an assistant in the game for the second goal. But it was peculiar. I was a bit disappointed in Leicester. I just thought they played so open, and you know, defensively they looked, you know, all at sea. And I thought, you know, Vestergaard playing in a four, he's good in the air. He's very good on the ball, but you know, let's say he's not the quickest, and he was exposed quite frequently.
Yeah, he got done for the goal with ease, didn't he? I mean, the way Jackson went past him was a bit embarrassing, but well played Jackson, because he knew who he was up against, and he went. Yeah, it was too easy, wasn't it? A terrible defender.
Important win, wasn't it, for Maurizio Pochettino? I'm looking at them though, and I still think that they're a long way off being anywhere near the top four, aren't they? The quality there. They've got such a huge squad. Obviously, they're very young, so you know they will improve. And I think he's, you know, probably the right man to help improve them over time if he's given that amount of time. But you could feel there was like a kind of nervousness and a slightly disgruntled fraction of the crowd at Stamford Bridge with perhaps some of the decisions, even though obviously substitution turned out to be a good one.
I was just about to say it was probably the loudest I've heard it. I mean, I haven't been to all the games. But I've watched a lot of the games, and it was probably the loudest I've heard it in terms of the booing and the disagreement with his decisions, getting on Raheem's back. I heard that also. But you've got to say, you've got to give it to Maurizio. He made the decisions, he made the substitutions, and his subs worked. They went on to win the game through his changes.
Yeah, although I will say when Sterling was eventually substituted, and when he first did it and he started to walk towards the tunnel, there were quite a few boos, but then it was completely drowned out by applause for Raheem Sterling. And I will say also, I want to mention this, because at the end of the game, I walked out and met a couple of my sons for a quick lunch just down the Fulham Road. A little Italian restaurant. Andres Pereira was in there, actually said hello from Fulham player. And I actually walked out with, like, there were hundreds and hundreds of Chelsea fans and all the way through. And not one of them took the piss out of us getting beat by them or was nasty in any way. And they were really supportive and saying, oh, you know, great game. You know, sorry you seem lost. And honestly, well, because they don't always get the best press, probably Chelsea fans, but... thank you very much for that. That was very considerate and kind at a time when you were suffering. And one fan came up with this young lad and he went, I love the podcast. I love the podcast. He said, we listen all the time. So a shout out to Buzz.
Buzz.
Yeah, buzz. Cheers, Buzz. It's a bit like me coming out of the Etihad yesterday, Gaz, you know?
Yeah.
When there were everyone was really respectful, and apart from ex-players, a couple of pundits, we walked them back to the cars in the car park, and some ex-pundit was taking the piss, waving me off in the car park, weren't they, Micah?
Well, BBC, again, another one from BBC's number one pundit. I've just got a feeling that Newcastle are going to win the FA Cup this year. What happened to that, mate?
I was just trying to be stick with my team, man. As soon as we drew you lot, I knew that we were in trouble.
It's always the confidence that kills, isn't it? It's the hope that kills you, the hope, aspiration. You just think, maybe there's something's got to happen at some point. But it didn't happen for either your team or mine. And actually, Leicester have lost top spot now as well in the league because Leeds beat Millwall, nervous. I think it was. Edgy. I said before the game, I'd take an FA Cup win and not promotion. Yeah, trophy over getting back in the Premier League, because then next season we'd win a load more games. I'm terrified we'll get neither.
who's top of the league?
He's a Leeds fan now.
Marching on together!
God, is there a team you don't support, Mike?
I go with the wind, Gary, you know that.
I know you do. I know you do. You really do. I mean, the three of us were at the Manchester City-Newcastle game, obviously. I mean, they weren't at their scintillating best, City, but boy, they must be so incredibly difficult to play against. You can't get the ball off them. And when you do, they win it back within seconds. They're relentless.
It's ridiculous, isn't it? Because when you asked us, you know, in the game, and you're thinking about, obviously, I watch City a lot, what can you do to stop Man? You can have a go. Of course you can have a go. You can press high, and you know Man City like to keep a high line, as we know. But if you bring your team 30, 40 yards up the field, then they've got Haaland to run in behind. So it's like they can break you down in any way. If you want to sit deep in a low block, no problem. They've got runners like Foden and Bernardo Silva. Doku had a good game, I thought, the other day. And if you give them space, they've got Haaland. It's so demoralizing at times for teams going there thinking that they've got half a chance and then one mistake. We're talking about, and Alan will talk about probably one of the goals, because he explained it really well on BBC on Saturday when he was basically talking about it was just like an inch. He did all the right things, but then if they smell blood, they just punish you. And I think that is the difference with Manchester City at this moment in time, even when they're not playing at the very best.
And the other thing, Alan, you need a little bit of luck, don't you, against those sort of sides? And you certainly didn't have it. Two horrible deflections yesterday.
Yeah, two deflections. But, I mean, Man City were miles a better team. They've got, I mean, in every position, they were better. They are better. I think even without injuries, Newcastle may have struggled. They've given them a game this season. I mean, that was the fourth time they've played them. They've given them a game, particularly the two home games when they knocked them out of the Carabao, and then the league game. I think City scored in the last minute or so to win the game at St James's. And that makes a difference. It would have been a completely different, I think, atmosphere, performance, if that had been at St James's. But, I mean, that's 38 unbeaten, I think, now at home for Man City. So they're formidable at home. They're a brilliant team, great manager, great to watch. And yeah, they deserve the respect as much as it was hard to take because of the two deflected goals. But they deserved it. They were miles better than Newcastle.
It's not beyond the realms of possibility, is it, that they repeat last season's treble? I mean, that's never been done, not just here, but anywhere, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because if you look at the side of the draw in the Champions League, they've got obviously Real Madrid in the quarterfinals, then could meet Bayern or Arsenal. And then people need to look out for Atletico Madrid as well. They beat a really good Inter Milan side who on the night I thought deserved to probably win it, and they will just bore the life out the game. They literally... Everyone knows the jobs are so drilled tactically, and just maybe on a one-off, if they were to get to the final, Man City, maybe Atletico is the one team, I feel, if they was to go past Real Madrid, of course, that could hurt them tactically.
The only thing I would say is that Atletico have really struggled away from home this season, and they did against Inter as well. It's funny, isn't it? You know, obviously a couple of years ago, they changed the away goals rule. That would have been the one tie that would have been the other way round. Inter would have gone through, obviously, on away goals in that particular one. So it made a difference. But Alan, in terms of Newcastle, that's another season now without a trophy. And I saw a this is a bit unkind of me here, really, but I saw a tweet by somebody this morning, UTD Heisenberg, and he went, "It's now officially 69 years without a major trophy for Newcastle. Here's a thread of 14 clubs who have won a trophy more recently than the Geordies." Apologies here, Alan. Sunderland, Middlesbrough, Southampton, Wolves, Oxford United, Ipswich Town, QPR, Wimbledon, Luton Town, Coventry City, Sheffield Wednesday, Birmingham City, Wigan Athletic, Swansea City, and I'm going to add Leicester City.
What was his name? Who sent that tweet?
Somebody Heisenberg. I don't suppose that's
fuck
his real
off,
name.
Fuck off, Heisenberg. I don't mean it. Yeah, I get that. I understand that. Yeah, I hope I'm still around when we win it. It'll happen one day.
Yeah,
I've no doubt about it. It'll happen one day.
You mentioned Coventry early, and that was a little bit like the Man United-Liverpool game. I mean, the turnarounds in that game were really extraordinary, because obviously Coventry got ahead, and then with just a few minutes to go, Wolves got one back, and then they got 2-1 up, and you just thought, well, that's it. And then to score, what it was, 94th minute and 100th minute, wasn't it, to turn it around away from home at a Premier League club like that. Our producer John, he's still in hiding, I think, after that, for those goings on. I mean, it must have been devastating for a Wolves fan, but from a Coventry perspective, wow.
Wasn't it brilliant? I mean, it was just a brilliant game as well, and there was nothing fluky about it. They weren't lucky. They deserved it. I mean, I was thinking, you know, when we talked about earlier about when Ellis Sims missed that chance, I'm thinking, oh no, you can't miss chances like that against Premier League teams. But he gets his two goals, and then they're up against it, and you think, oh, it's not going to go for them. And then Hadji Wright, wasn't it, got the winner. What a finish, man. Mm. It was a brilliant, the way he just bent it into the corner. And then you just look at the Coventry fans going mad, and yeah, wow. What a job he's doing, Mark Robbins, isn't he?
Mm. He's been there a few years now. He's taken them up, and they're consistently doing well in the championship.
They've got some really good players as well. I've got Casey Palmer, who can play, was like a midfielder. Hadji Wright, obviously, who scored one of the goals. Callum O'Hare, who come off the bench.
Came on,
well.
I like him, yeah.
Really, I was with him at Aston Villa, there was Premier League interest for him, I think it was last summer as well. Decided to stay. Ellis Sims as well. Do you remember him from Everton as well? Didn't really hit the ground running when he was at Everton, but he's gone there in a system, and they've got some really talented young players.
Manchester United in semi-final at Wembley for them. That's one to look forward to, isn't it?
Wow.
Do the BBC get first pick?
We get first pick of the semi-finals.
I would imagine it's going to be City-Chelsea then, isn't it? If it can be arranged, I mean, whether the police or whoever it is for times on TV, you never know that. So
no,
I would guess so. That would be their favourite choice, wouldn't it?
You reckon? Not Man United, Coventry, underdog and the size of Man United?
Yeah, it's probably more romantic semi-final, isn't it, than the other one. So I don't know. It's kind of 50-50 in a way. Obviously, two Premier League teams, you know, it could be closer. The danger, I think, with those is if Man United go a couple up early, then it's kind of all
City
over.
City could do the same.
Well, that's very true. That is so true. So I don't know. I haven't had any conversations yet. Not that I pick it. No, I don't, Micah. Don't look at me like that. Don't give me that look. I'll tell you what it really happens during the break.
Hola.
Hello. This call is being translated.
Abuela, listen to what my phone can do.
Abuela, escucha lo que mi teléfono puede hacer.
Wow. Ahora dime sobre tu novia nueva.
Wow. Now tell me about this new girlfriend.
Huh?
Tú sabes lo que dije.
You know what I said.
Language is no longer a barrier, thanks to Live Translate with Galaxy AI on Samsung Galaxy S24 Ultra. Learn more at Samsung.com. Samsung account login required. Calls must be made using the native Samsung dialer.
Want to be more active this summer? Sierra helps you save on everything from swimsuits to stand-up paddle boards, tennis rackets to fishing tackle. And if that doesn't float your boat, we also have pool floats. Sierra, let's get moving. To your local store, like now. Go!
Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between, offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Welcome back to The Rest is Football with Micah Richards, Alan Shearer and me, Gary Lineker. Let's turn our attention to Premier League matches. Big game down the bottom yesterday. Luton equalising very late against Nottingham Forest, who just can't seem to get a victory ultimately. And I think there's heavily rumoured that their sentencing and whether they're going to get deducted points will be out tomorrow. We're talking on Sunday, so perhaps by the time you listen to this, you might already know what's happened to Nottingham Forest. There'll be some tense Forest fans around over the next few hours or so.
Well, that was a big, big, big goal for Luton, wasn't it? I mean, if Forest had won that another three points, but huge goal for them. And yeah, that's what we're hearing about Forest this week. It's going to be announced. I'm sure whatever happens, they'll probably appeal. But yeah, credit to Luton for keep on going and again and getting that vital goal. And that could be a huge point for them.
Yeah, particularly after what happened in midweek to them, being 3-0 up at Bournemouth and then actually losing that game. I think that showed a bit of character to do that and keep going and get back and get a point, Micah.
Yeah, exactly that. I think there's been loads of, you know, we've given so much praise, haven't we, Luton this season, but the sort of, I don't want to say switch off, but all the hard work gets undone towards the end of the game. So to get a goal in the 89th minute to get the draw for them, it is absolutely massive. It's exciting as well. The top's exciting and the bottom's exciting. So roll on. It's nice this time of the year, especially for us broadcasters, that, you know, there's something riding on the league at this point of it. So it's really good for the spectacle for us, for everyone.
And what about this for a statistic of consecutive scoring streaks? I'll go from back to front. It's got the top six here. Manchester United have gone 10 games scoring in each one. Newcastle 10 as well, Alan. Liverpool 11, Chelsea 11, Manchester City 13, and Luton 17.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, to be fair, like we keep saying about Luton and Rob Edwards, I mean, they concede a ridiculous amount of goals. That's evident for everyone to see. But they do score. They do make it difficult for you at times. They're organised. They know, in terms of putting balls into the box, they know a system that works for them. I mean, it's at the other end. That's their problem, isn't it? It's keeping them out. They can't stop shipping goals.
Can they do it? Can they do it? Can they stay up, Al?
I think only what happens with Nottingham Forest and with Everton.
I think that's a good point. Talking of consecutive runs, Tottenham's was ended yesterday, and they were actually ahead of Luton at the time. I mean. Credit to Fulham. I mean, they are churning out some incredible results this season, but obviously it was a really poor day for Spurs.
Not just a poor day for Spurs, poor day for my fantasy football. Absolutely shocking. I use my wild card. So for those who don't know, wild card, you can basically change all your players.
And so you did that because a lot of teams weren't playing, presumably.
Correct. So I put in loads of Spurs players, loads of Villa
Song
players.
Song captain by any chance?
Son captain absolutely let me down. He spoiled my day, that did. Honest, he's just spoiled.
You're not so the only one. Harry's he's shaking his head still. I think he had Reguilon in his side as well, who got a red card.
-3, you got Reguilon.
Oh dear. Which brings us to Burnley. I mean, we've talked about Burnley a lot this season. So now they've finally got 3 points and a victory. Let's give them some credit. Does that give them any hope, Alan?
I would like to say yes, but No, I don't think so. I think they're as good as gone. Good for them. Yeah, I'm pleased for them. It's been tough. Vincent left the goalkeeper out, didn't he? Which a lot of people have been saying that for a while now. We left him out. Whether that was anything to do with the result, I don't know. But yeah, it's been a tough season for them, and I don't see them having enough to steal.
I hope James Trafford bounces back, because I think, you know, he's been put on the spot this season, very inexperienced. Yeah.
I think it's been a really tough season for him. And at times, I think he should have been taken out.
Mm.
I think it's been a mistake by Vincent to leave him in there at times where he's been under huge pressure. He's made mistakes. When that happens, I think you're sometimes better off being taken out of the team to sit back and have a look and reflect and give the job to someone else. Because, I mean, goalkeeping is a really tough position anyway. But for someone who's so young and inexperienced, to come into the Premier League and be asked to do such a huge job is a tough ask. And I think it's been unfair on him this season at times.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with that. Particularly with goalkeepers, they tend to mature a little bit later, don't they, than outfield players. So, you know, they perhaps need a bit of time. And I think certainly in terms of physicality and size and stuff, he's struggled a little bit at times this season, and clubs have targeted Burnley and knocked the ball under the crossbar from corners and made it very difficult for him. I mean, he's clearly very talented and made some great saves, so hopefully it doesn't get him down and he comes back and works hard and realises his massive potential.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of what you guys said there, but it's very difficult because Al made a good point about taking him out. I do agree with it, but when do you put him back in? That is the question. So if you spent, was it 19 million they spent for him? Something along those lines. Really exciting young goalkeeper. If you take him out, is that going to sort of ruin his confidence a little bit? And I don't know. It's difficult, isn't it? It's difficult because if you buy a keeper for that much, he's going to start. So it's hard to know whether to keep with him or take him out for a couple of games.
We skipped past Fulham a little bit. So, I presume you didn't have Mooney's in your team.
Oh, my God. You know what? I had him in so you can tinker with it up until, I think, an hour before.
You took him out?
I took him out. And, it spoiled my weekend. It really has.
Harry here has just shown me his team lineup now, and he had him on the bench, which I think means it's... You don't get the points unless someone else doesn't play, and then he's demoralised. I mean, it affects your mood, you lot, doesn't it? It affects your mood, all you players of fantasy football, so much.
It does. How many points did Harry finish with?
15.
21. Not much 21. Better.
How do you get the time to do all this shit? I mean, you're on every other channel anyway, so how do you get the time to do it?
You know what it helps you with, Al? It helps you with knowing all the players. Because, you know, there's bargains in there. It's all about balancing the squad. And
that's always the editor of Match of the Day's excuse, isn't it, Richard? who equally gets into it massively. And he said, no, it's brilliant. I know all about the players. It gives me much more for purposes. But it's clearly a lot of fun for a lot of people and seems seemingly quite addictive to many. Let's move slightly further afield. And a worrying moment for Harry Kane. I think he collided with the post, twisted his ankle late in Bayern's victory. He'd already scored a goal, obviously. But he's going to come to the England squad where he'll get treated and they'll look at it. So I think that probably suggests it's not too serious, hopefully.
Yeah, it didn't. I mean, I know he collided with the post, but it didn't look that serious, did it? And if you know Harry, then I would guess, I don't know, I guess he would be fine. But another goal, it's like, wow, what a season. I know they're doing okay in the Champions League, but they're not doing so well in the league. But what a season he's having, man. My goodness me, it's just ridiculous. You keep reading another record broken. But yeah, we hope he's all right. I think he'll be all right, don't you? Didn't look that serious, did it?
I mean, we've been monitoring Bayer Leverkusen, haven't we, a lot this season, Xabi Alonso's side. And I think twice in the Europa League, they came from two goals down to maintain their unbeaten record in any competition this season. And then they won again today, being Sunday, beat Freiburg by 3-2. I mean, can you imagine if... it surely can't happen, but if they go on to... to win a treble, that, you know, the German Cup, the Europa League and the Bundesliga without losing a game, would that be the greatest season of any team ever?
It'd be up there, I know that much. They just keep finding a way. It's ridiculous. Have you watched any of their highlights? Obviously, you see results and we're always working, but I know, Gary, you watch as much as you possibly can. Mm. But I don't know how they keep doing it. They're like behind in games with 10 minutes to go and they just find a way to do it. And it's just ridiculous.
They're not a team of superstars either. If you look at, you know, the starting line, obviously Granit Xhaka's gone there now. He's playing an important part. Florian Wirtz is, I think, their star and scored a terrific goal, which we shared on the chat earlier. But I think he's going to be quite in demand, Mr. Alonso, by the end of the season.
No, he already is in demand. He already is. With the jobs that are going to be available come the end of the season, whether that's Bayern, whether that's Liverpool, or whether that's going to be in one or two others, then... The big hitters will be after him, no doubt about it, or are after him.
For sure. Let's finish with the moment of the week, and I think it's got to be Ahmad's goal, I think, for Manchester United in that kind of the 120th minute, whatever it was. And he's quite a story, Ahmad. He was actually, I don't know whether you know this, but he was actually trafficked into Italy with a number of young African footballers. And actually, when he was 17 or something, it was found out that he had fake papers and stuff, and the kid was fined. I mean, I can't see quite how it's his fault. He was manipulated, obviously, by agents bringing youngsters into the country. And then to end up at Manchester United and to come on and then score a goal like that, it's quite the tale, isn't it?
Talk about the timing as well. Oh, goodness me. I mean, for him to get where he did from the edge of the box to the other end and then finish it off. Yeah, I mean, it was amazing. What an end to the game. So, and what an afternoon for him.
Then he got a red card.
I know, yeah.
It's ridiculous, that, though, isn't it?
It's ridiculous. It's a silly rule, isn't it?
I know rules are rules, but it's ridiculous. I mean,
can you imagine his thinking, I'm already on a yellow card? I mean, seriously, how on earth are you meant to think that you're in the last minute of extra time, the game is bonkers, and you're meant to think, better not take my top off or whatever it is. It's like, oh God, how can you get another yellow card for that?
So keep your shirt on, Micah, please. Don't take it off. We'll give glass you a yellow card before we go. Okay, that's it. We'll be back, obviously, with the question and answer episode on Wednesday. Don't forget, if you haven't already done so, then make sure you sign up for our Rest Is Football newsletter. It goes out every Friday with loads of extra information, statistics and quizzes from the best bits we've spoken about this week. And it's absolutely free, of course. Just go to therestisfootball.com to sign up. Therestisfootball.com. Have a great week, everyone. Goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.
Have a great week.